everybody.
Yep.
Here we are again for another matinee. It's our Halloween week matinee show, talking about Halloween movies all fucking week long, goddammit.
Yeah, and we're arguing about the guy that was in them, Dune, and the guy who was in the Scarecrow movie. I thought it was the same guy.
And I'm sitting there going, it's like, we're recording the shit, and I'm just kind of like, I'm pretty sure that's not the same guy, but it's like, you can't.
I thought the dude that played Baron Harkonnen was the same guy who played the cop out of Salem's Lot, and I thought it was the same guy that played the dude from Cat's Eye, and then I thought it was the same dude from fucking that Scarecrow movie that we saw. But those are two different guys.
Those are two different guys.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that was in Dune and the guy that was in Cat's Eye are the same dude.
Yeah.
But the dude that was in Dark Knight of the Scarecrow is not the same.
That's not him.
That is a different
dude. Okay.
But it's like, it's a type.
Yeah.
It's like there was always those kind of type of like TV and movie actors like in the 70s and 80s that always played like these kind of gruff, no-nonsense, donut-eating cops and shit like that. He always played like that kind of part.
Yeah.
So I can see where you would... There was a lot of that type of guy, like a lot of that type of character actor going on at that time.
Now, the guy who played Baron Harkonnen and the guy who played the cop from Salem's Lot, I think, is the same guy,
now,
too.
See, I don't remember. I'd have to look that up again, because I don't remember. I only vaguely remember who played the cop. And now I'm, like, confused, because you're getting me, like, thinking about all of that. Okay, so, anyway. So, we're talking about, again, another... Mangoes,
Badger says it's the same guy from Dune and Salem's Lot.
Okay, but it's not the same guy that was in Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
Yeah, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow is not that same guy, but I thought it was that same guy.
Yeah,
the guy who played the mailman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got it straight.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see if you
I just mistook that guy. He looks like that same guy.
They
same...
Like I said, they look very similar. Okay. But it's,
you know how white people are. They all look alike.
They do, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, certain types of white people.
Yeah, certain types of
them. They do. Yeah. But that's true. All right. So, as I said, this week, since it's Halloween week, we're going to be talking about like some newer kind of Halloween adjacent movies. So, on this one, we're actually going to be talking about an anthology film from 2013 called All Hallows Eve. Now, this movie is notable because it was the first feature-length appearance of the later iconic character, Art the Clown, who actually probably... He probably got most famous when Terrifier came out, because I think Terrifier came out in, what, 2015, 2016, something like that? So I feel like that movie... Like, when it hit Netflix, because we watched it with Shauna and Eric were over here, and we, like, had a fucking great time watching that because it was, like, super gory and everything. But what I didn't realize when I saw Terrifier was that Art the Clown had been introduced prior in, like, some short films and then was in this anthology film. So, okay, so what happened with this movie? Basically, the dude... who wrote, directed, edited, did the make of special effects makeup and everything for it. He's like a Renaissance man. His name is Damien Leone, I think I'm pronouncing that right. And he had actually made a short film called The Ninth Circle. And then he also made another film in 2011 that was a short film called Terrifier, which is not the same as the full-length Terrifier that they made later on. So are we with me so far? Okay. So when he decided that he was going to make like a full-length movie, because so many people responded so well to Art the Clown because he's like pretty fucking scary, so he decided to take those two short films, shoot a new film, and then make it all an anthology and film like a wraparound. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which came out in 2013 and was called All Hallows Eve. Now, I will admit, I watched this again for the review. I saw this actually for the first time last Halloween night because I was looking for Halloween adjacent movies that were on Tubi, which this one is for free. The sequel is also on there too, and I'll talk about that a little bit too because I watched that this morning. But so this is basically three different stories that were shot at three different times. On, like, three different kinds of film, with Art the Clown looking kind of different in every single one, because I guess, like I said, there were several years between it. That said, it's not a bad little flick. I mean, honestly, I think that the wraparound and the third story are the best ones.
I think so, yeah.
Like, the first two... Okay, now, I'm going to say right here, like, I did like this movie, but that middle story, you know the one with the alien... That was dumb as hell. But the first one was okay. It was kind of cheesy. Like, the costumes were kind of cheesy. But that one was the oldest. I think he shot that one in, like, 2008. And so it looked like a different quality. And, like, the costuming and stuff was not really that good. It kind of looked like some, you know, Spirit Halloween, like, masks or something like that a little bit. But it did have Art the Clown in it, looking a little bit different. Like, he wasn't as scary as he became later on.
Yeah. It's the best part of, it's the best part of the movie, though.
Well, I think that people really, like, responded to that character. Yeah.
Terrifier movie, the full-length movie, blows this out of the water, though.
Oh, definitely.
You want to see that first, and then if you really like that, you can go back and watch where, you know what I mean, the prototype.
The origin.
The origin story. Which, you know, it's enjoyable, but, like I said, that last one is the best one. That's got the clown in it. It's a good story.
Yeah.
And it's not long, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the whole movie is only like an hour and a half. So basically, yeah. I do like that because he was using like two short films he had already shot like years prior, he came up with like a fairly clever way to incorporate it all into an anthology. What he did with the wraparound story was, the wraparound is, it's Halloween night, there's a babysitter who the first time I saw this movie, I thought, is that fucking actress that was on the fucking, that played Pam on The Office? God, it looks just like her. But then I looked it up and it's not. It's an actress named Katie McGuire, who's a New York actress, and I guess she's been like a whole bunch of other shit too. But she looked, in this movie particularly, she looked like she was like the spitting image of fucking Pam from The Office. So like the whole time I was distracted. But so she's like a babysitter. She's babysitting these two kids on Halloween night. And the boy has gotten an unmarked videotape in his treat bag and can't remember who put it in there. So now I will say that even though this is supposed to be set, like, it was contemporary with time, it was supposed to be set in 2013, like everybody had cell phones and shit like that. It's very weird to me that if you got like a random VHS tape in your trick or treat thing in 2013, they'd be like, hey, we happen to have a VCR.
Yeah. It's hard. I don't have one.
Had a VCR for at least 15 years, if not longer.
If you do have a VCR, you'd have to get it out of the goddamn attic and set it up.
That's what I mean. It wouldn't just be, yeah, like, attached to the TV already.
Yeah, and then you'd have to have the right splitters and everything to get it to go into the AV fucking connection.
I mean, unless you're James from Cinemassacre,
yeah,
who has, like, a massive VHS collection, right, and he has every single player that's ever been made. He has a Betamax, yeah, he has a fucking Laserdisc player, he has, like, all that shit. Unless you're, like, a collector, I don't see why anyone in 2013 would have a VCR, like, just ready to play movies on.
If you took my Blu-ray collection and turned that into VHS, it would take up, an entire room of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were huge. People don't realize
they were, yeah.
Some of these guys that do these shows, like you said, like Cinemassacre, that have all that stuff, the set that they work off looks like a video rental store.
A video store.
Because that's what you need.
Like, I think that's his whole entire basement.
Yeah.
He has made it look like a damn video store. Like, the exact, yeah, same size. He's got all the shelving and everything.
Yeah, and that's what you would need.
Yeah. Because they're giant.
They're giant.
But like I said, I can see if you're like a collector. I will mention, I'll talk about this in a bit, because I did, like, I was curious, so I watched the sequel, like, earlier this morning, just while I was doing other shit. I just put it on in the background. And I will say that the sequel did address this briefly. Like, I guess people had criticized, like, who the fuck had a VCR in 2013 that was, like, hooked up and ready to the TV? Yeah. But whatever. It's like, you know what,
It's a movie.
That's what I mean. It's just a movie. So, basically, the kids are all like, ooh, we want to watch it, even though the first thing you would think is, like, it's got to be porn, right? It's like, that's the first thing I would think. So, the babysitter is like, okay, well, we can't watch it. It's like, you know, we'll watch a little bit of it, and if it, like, looks scary, or if it looks like porn, if we see somebody's testicles or something, then you guys have to go to bed, and you can't watch it anymore. So, they start watching it, and obviously, it turns out it's a horror movie. And so, it turns out that the three, like, shorts are portrayed as shit that's on this videotape that the babysitter is watching. So what they do, like, as the shorts play out, every now and then they'll, like, cut back to the babysitter, like, drinking wine on the couch, or, like, the little kid, like, watching it going, oh shit, that's fucked up. It's like that kind of shit. And then, like, so they go through all the shorts, and then, like, at the end, spoiler alert, they imply that Art the Clown, who has kind of been, he's in most of the segments. He's in the alien one, but only as a painting, which I thought was very strange. But I'll get into that in a minute. But at the end of the movie, it's kind of like he's going to, like, bust out of the TV and, like, come into the real world type of thing. So I kind of like the way they did that. But like I said, so the first segment is basically his short film, the Damian Leone's short film, The Ninth Circle, which is just this girl. She's in a train station at night. It's supposedly Halloween night. This doesn't have a real, I mean, other than the wraparound, which is obviously Halloween night, like the house is decorated like Halloween, you know, they're going to carve a pumpkin, blah, blah, blah. But the rest of them are not really that Halloween-y, you know what I mean? Like the first one kind of, you know, there's a couple people in costume, like in the train station, like that are drunk and are like going home from a party. But it's like, other than that, like the shorts aren't really like Halloween themed, but the wraparound is.
Somebody in the comment section is asking what a VCR is.
Had to that's what I mean.
Had to be explained to them what a VCR is. Yeah.
That's what, yeah, Fourth Row Down said, would a kid have known what a VHS tape was in 2013? Yeah. I'm not entirely sure. And I watched, there's another really good horror channel called Dr. Wolfula. And he did a review of this, although it wasn't, well, it was him, but in one of his other incarnations. It's a long story. But he reviewed this, and he said the same thing. He's like, would a kid even know what a VHS tape was?
Yeah.
If he was like, he was supposed to be like 10 or 12 or something like that in 2013. Would he be like, what the fuck is this thing?
I know I could hand a kid a fucking 8-track tape, and they wouldn't know what the fuck that was.
Well, yeah.
I barely know what that is.
Because that was like, I mean, that was when I was a little kid.
Yeah, I remember those things where they were like that big and you put it in.
Like by the time I was buying stuff, it was just regular cassette tapes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like my dad had some 8-tracks, but even then it was like starting to be like, yeah. But so, yeah, but that was one thing I did wonder about. So the first one, there's just a girl in a train station. Art the Clown shows up and starts like honking his horn at her. That's not a innuendo. And basically, like, ends up taking her down into these tunnels. And I guess there's, like, a satanic cult or some shit down there. So she gets, like, some woman gets a baby cut out of her stomach. And this is pretty gory. And I mean, like, the gore effects are really well done. The makeup in the first and second shorts, not so great. Like, they're just very costumey. But the gore, especially in the third segment, is actually, like, really, really well done, I think. I mean, for obviously, like, what a low budget they had.
Yeah, I mean, it's damn near a homemade movie.
It is. And
it looks really good, though. It's fun to watch.
It does, though. Yeah. It's like I said, it's a little uneven. Yeah. And you can tell that it was shot at, like, wildly different times. But it's, you know, that said, it does hold together. And I think that, I mean, Art the Clown, that character, you can tell why he became like such a cult sensation. I mean, shit, they got like mugs with him on it, like fucking action figures and shit like that. I think the cool thing about Art the Clown, and I think what Damian Leone said about doing this character, he's like, I wanted to do like a scary clown, but like the opposite of Pennywise, because Pennywise had like a personality and he was like kind of looked like a regular clown, but he was like funny and shit like that. He's like, I just wanted a clown that was like creepy and didn't talk.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what makes him creepier. Also, like, the first dude that played him, like, in this, I don't think it's the same guy that played him in, like, in the full-length one. But I think the way that he moves, like, his body language and stuff like that, like, makes him a lot creepier as well. So he's pretty creepy in this, although I think he's scarier in Terrifier, like I said.
Terrifier's a better movie. I mean, just
it is, yeah. And I mean, Terrifier, like I said, that was late afternoon, and I think Shauna and Eric came over.
Yeah, I was laughing at
that. And we were drinking, and it was like so gory and everything. We were just having a fucking blast watching this. I did too. That's kind of, that's set on Halloween too, I think.
I hadn't seen a real good kind of like gory horror movie in a long time when I saw that. And I was just,
Yeah, didn't somebody get, like, cut in half, like, long? Yeah. I always like when that happens. Yeah, it was always... I don't know why. I like that gag.
Everything about it was over the top. You know, it was over the top, so, you know, it had a lot. To me, I thought it was humorous.
Yeah, which
and
you get...
a fucking trip.
You get a little bit of that in this, because basically, like I said, the first one is kind of more like a satanic cult thing. It's not super gory, and, like, some of the devil makeup is, like, okay, but it's just kind of, like, costumey looking. The second story, like I said, doesn't have anything to do with Art the Clown. It's basically like this girl or this woman, and she's just moved to this new house out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Her husband's not home. I don't know where he's at. She's talking to her friend, or is she talking to her friend on the phone or her husband on the phone or something? She's talking to somebody on the phone. Something looks like it lands in the backyard, and then like the rest of the segment is basically an alien like stalking her through her house. Now, initially, I think that they wanted the alien to be a puppet or like, you know, a large puppet, but I guess they couldn't do that, so it's just like a dude in a costume, and it's very clearly a dude in a costume. So I do feel like, even though like the costume is cool looking, it's really not that scary. Plus, I think they show it too much. And then I feel like they're just kind of like, well, we need to have Art the Clown in this one too, because we're trying to make like an anthology movie. So it turns out, apropos of nothing, that this woman's husband is a painter. And he's like, oh, I did this painting. It was this face and I don't even remember painting it. Like, I just woke up and it was there. And she pulls the cloth off at the end. And of course, it's like Art the Clown's face. It's a cool painting. But Art the Clown doesn't have anything to do with the alien. So I don't know. But what it could have done without that second segment, probably. But then the third one is actually, I think, the best one. And the third one is actually the closest to Terrifier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think this one might have been the short film that was called Terrifier. And then when they made Terrifier as a full-length movie, they just kind of, like, expanded out. So, because it feels like it has the same tone. And I actually even kind of like the third one that they made it look like, I mean, it's very obviously made it look like an old film. It has like old film filter on it.
Yeah.
Like you can tell. But I like that look to it though.
It looked good.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's basically like, I mean, all the stories are pretty much the same. It's always like a woman and she's getting stalked by either Art the Clown or an alien or a guy in an alien costume. But so that's basically what happens in this one. It's like a girl, she's like fucking on a road trip, stops to get gas. And, you know, she goes, the guy at the gas station is like helping her out. He's like kicks Art the Clown out because apparently Art the Clown is like smeared shit all over the walls in the bathroom and he's not having it. And then later she goes into the gas station and sees that Art the Clown is cutting this dude into pieces and what is a very good effect. And then it's kind of like, you know, a big chase at the end and it has like a really gory ending. And then, like I said, you go back to the wraparound and Art has kind of like come into the real world with the babysitter and all that other kind of stuff. Will say, I like that they went there and, spoiler alert, killed the kids.
That's right. Yeah, it was a good scene. They went there.
They did. So I feel like this is obviously somebody that's like really, really into slasher movies and really into gore and stuff like that. And you can tell that it was, even though the first movie, All Hallows Eve, is like a little bit uneven, it's still like a fun watch. I would recommend, probably, if you're going to watch an Art the Clown movie, I would recommend watching Terrifier first. And if you liked that, then maybe go back and watch All Hallows Eve.
Yeah. Fort Drawer Down says he's saying it'd be awesome to have an AMC Pacer and an 8-track player.
Somebody out there's got to have one.
Yeah, I think the Pacer is now a collector's item, which, boy, man, it's incredible to believe that that car's worth something. Same with the Gremlin, I think, is worth something. That AMC Pacer,
my brother had one of those.
I remember hearing that AMC Pacer had nearly 200 pounds of glass in it.
Wow, really?
Yeah. That back glass window, I think, was like nearly like 70 pounds. Just the back window on it. But a lot of fucking glass. People don't realize how much glass weighs, and it was thick 70s glass.
So you don't want to be like 70s or 80s, going through 70. That fucking windshield.
No. I think it was like nearly 200 pounds of glass, if I remember correctly.
It'll just like splatter you.
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous.
But yeah, so like I said, if you want to see an Art the Clown movie, I would recommend watching Terrifier first, which I think it might be on Tubi. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then if you like that, then maybe you want to go back and see this one as like his origin story. I think they're doing another movie with him, and I think they're also doing a comic book, because like I said, he kind of struck a chord, this character, because he's creepy, you know? And the guy that plays him is like really good, like, and everything. Now, just as I said, out of curiosity, I noticed that All Hallows Eve 2 was also on Tubi. So this morning, while I was doing something else, I said, why not? So I just kind of put it on my other laptop and had it kind of going in the thing, and I kept, like, glancing over at it. Now, the interesting thing about All Hallows Eve 2 is that it doesn't have anything to do with Art the Clown. It is an anthology movie. It's 9 shorts, some of which are very short. Like, some of them are only, like, 3 minutes or something like that. It's 9 different shorts. I think it's 9 different directors. So I think that Damien Leone maybe had something to do with putting it together, but I don't know if he directed any of the segments. I think it's like all different people. That said, it's weird because it's probably a better made movie than the first one. And it's a more cohesive movie than the first one, even though it was made by 9 different directors. But it's weird that they called it All Hallows Eve 2 because it doesn't have anything to do with the first one. Like, there's no Art the Clown. There's no anything. It's like, it has a similar wraparound in the sense that there's, like, a woman drinking wine on a couch, like the babysitter in the first one, and she's just, like, you know, she finds a videotape on her doorstep. And I love that in the second one, she has an excuse because she's talking to her friend on the phone also, and she's like, hey, some weirdo, like, left, because it wasn't Art the Clown, it was, like, the spirit of Halloween, or so somebody, like, in a pumpkin mask or something. And she's like, yeah, somebody left a VHS on my doorstep, and the friend is like, you have a VCR? And she's like, yeah, I have a VCR. She's like, do you know how much better Texas Chainsaw Massacre looks on VHS than on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, at least they acknowledged that, like, why would you have a fucking VCR in 2015 or whatever the second one was made? So I thought that was kind of funny that they kind of, like, homaged, like, because I guess a lot of people complained about why the fuck would anybody have a VCR in 2013 when the first one came out. So she does the same thing where she kind of goes... She sits around and, like, watches all the shorts, and then at the end, like, it turns out that, you know, whatever the spirit of Halloween or whatever, like, comes and gets her. The interesting thing, too, is that All Hallows Eve 2 is much more Halloween-themed. Like, it has, like, a much more Halloween flavor to it. Like, the first one, the wraparound is Halloween. The rest of them are just not really. But the second one, like, not all the shorts take place on Halloween, but there's, like, a lot more of them that do and that are, like, directly homaging Halloween. So I guess it's kind of, like, more like a Halloween-y type movie than the first one. Yeah. But they're two completely different. I mean, the second one just looks like a really nicely made anthology film. And if it was called something else, you wouldn't even know that it had anything to do with the first one because there's, like, no continuity between the two things. But that said, it was, like, a decent movie. It was worth watching. Obviously, some of the shorts are better than the other ones. Some of them, like I said, are super short and probably could have been, like, expanded out a little bit, whereas some of them were a little long or, like, went on a little bit too long.
Tila showed up. She's saying hi.
Hey.
And let me see. Louis said that his friend in high school had a gremlin. I remember... You remember the Ford Pinto? Fucking one you rear-ended, it would catch on fire? My mom had one of those when I was a kid.
Yeah, my brother had one, too.
Yeah.
It was powder blue.
My mom had it like a 78. And then later, I got a Pinto story from Mississippi. Later, I guess this would have been late 80s, early 90s. It was before I joined the Army. I ran into a guy in Mississippi that had a Ford Pinto. It turned into a fucking dragster hot rod made up out of junk.
I thought you were going to say it turned into something else.
No. Made out of junk.
Is that an airplane? A boat?
No. It had like a 427 V8 motor fucking put into the front end of it and a stiffer suspension because all that weight in the front. And then he had the back jacked up with big fat tires. This is back before it was cool to do this shit. He just did it because he knew how to do it and he had access to junk.
Why not?
That thing was a fucking screamer. And it just sounded like a damn... B-29 bomber coming down the fucking street. It was fucking badass. He had to cut the interior wheel wells out to get that big motor into the front of that in front of that fucking Pinto. Because it was weird as that Ford cars at that time, really they're still kind of modular. You can put anything out of anything in it.
Yeah.
Had the axles from the trucks, you know, and the Ford trucks in the back of it.
Yeah. Somebody at the door?
Yeah, hold on. Let me see what's going on.
Yeah, somebody asked if Art the Clown was inspired by Captain Spaulding. I'm not sure about that. That's the thing. It's like killer clowns are so ubiquitous nowadays. I do feel like Art the Clown kind of has his own thing going. Because Captain Spaulding, much like Pennywise, like kind of had he was like a personality. You know what I mean? Like he talked and he was funny and shit like that, but also murderous. Whereas Art the Clown is just murderous and seems to be enjoying himself, but doesn't really seem to have any motive, doesn't seem to have any, you know what I mean? Like, because he doesn't talk, so it's all kind of like body language. So I don't really know. I have to say that of all the killer clowns that have come out, because holy crap, there are so many fucking killer clown movies, you guys. It's like not even... If you're going to make a horror movie, and I think we've talked about this before, why would you make another... killer clown movie? Why would you make another Ouija board movie? Why would you make another demon possession movie? Because you couldn't think of anything else, or you just... Like, and I'm not saying that there haven't been some new ones, like Demon Possession or whatever, that have come out that have been good, because there have. But it just seems like you're really, like, shooting yourself in the dick if you pick something that has, you know, something that's had so many movies made about it. So I think that's kind of, like, a testament to how iconic the Art the Clown character became, because even in a sea of, like, so many killer clown movies, he still kind of stands out, you know what I mean? So I will give it that. Like, he is a really, really good character. And like I said, if you see Terrifier, he's, like, really, really good in that. And a lot of it is, like, face acting and, like, you know, body language stuff, because he doesn't ever say anything. And I think that that's one of the things that makes him so scary, you know what I mean? But, yeah, so, like I said, these are both on Tubi. If you don't, you know, if you want to watch something kind of Halloween-y, kind of gory, you could certainly do a lot worse. Like I said, the first one is, it's a little, yeah, and like I said, I could have done without that alien story. You'll see what I'm saying when you see it. I don't know why it had to be an alien, but whatever. But that's the thing, I don't, other than the actual movie Alien, I'm not a big fan of aliens as, like, bad guys, as, like, monsters, you know what I mean? I said, because I'm more a horror person, I guess, than a sci-fi person. So it's like, whenever I see a movie and they're like, oh, it's aliens, I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. So, you know, it's every now and then I see one that's good. But
Tammy said her boyfriend in high school had a green fucking Pinto. I think all the Pintos were
green. A green Gremlin.
Gremlin, oh, okay.
Yeah. No, they weren't, because my brother had one and I said it was powder blue.
Yeah, blue and green. That's the only colors I remember for the Pinto.
I thought that was a brown one. Wasn't there a brown Pinto? Maybe. I feel like somebody I know, like a cousin or my grandpa or something.
The 70s would have probably dictated that there would have been a brown one.
Well, yeah, because everything was fucking brown and orange and golden rod.
Yeah, but I don't remember any red ones or orange ones, and I don't remember any white ones.
I'm pretty sure there weren't any red ones or white ones. I don't remember ever seeing those.
70s American cars, man, Ford tried to go with the cheap, especially on the economy lines. They went for the cheapest paint they could get.
Yeah.
And that was shit like fucking brown and green, blue.
Isn't it weird to think of now? Because it's like, I can't think of that many red cars from the 70s.
No.
My dad had one.
It's because red paint was real expensive in the 70s. Yeah.
I can't remember what kind of car it was, but it was red.
Cheap red paint on a car back in the 70s, the sun had fucking burned it off in a year. So they didn't go for that.
Florida anyway.
The only cars that reliably had red were fucking expensive sports cars. Like a Ferrari.
Yeah.
And it was expensive red paint that they used back in those days. And you might be able to find the occasional Corvette in red, but red just didn't last.
I feel like most of the cars that I remember from my childhood that, like, family members owned and stuff were, like, blue, green,
brown,
gold, or cream.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, white ones. I don't remember red ones.
They didn't have silver. I don't really remember. They had some silvery gray type.
Yeah, things. I don't remember anyone I know having silver ones, though. They were mostly, like...
I think the Ford Mach 3 was silver, I think.
Because I remember my grandfather had, like, a whole bunch of Cadillacs, because he was a dude and he loved Cadillacs, and his whole fucking backyard was full of them. And almost all of them were brown or gold.
You started seeing them Skylarks and shit in silver, and LeBarons in silver colors. But it got real kind of rough looking pretty quick.
Yeah.
Where it didn't look metallic anymore, it just looked like gray sandpaper.
Remember? Oh, now that you mention it, my other grandfather did have a gray car. And like you said, it wasn't shiny.
No.
It was like a dull. And it kind of came like that.
Yeah.
Or it was shiny like for a little while.
Yeah, it was real low quality paint.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't have the polymers back then. They didn't, you know, it was all new technology.
Everything was, it was like a lot, so many things were ugly.
It was uglier than you think.
And even like stuff like, now when I see movies that were made in the 70s, I'm like, God, that fucking wallpaper. And it's like, and I every time I see wallpaper from the 70s, when I'm like, I know at least one person that had that wallpaper somewhere in their house.
70s and early 80s American cars were particularly bad. They were mass produced. And if you looked at how much they cost, they were really cheap.
Yeah.
They were designed that you bought the thing and then every 2 or 3 years you traded it in for a new one. They weren't built to last.
Yeah.
You know, it's changed a lot. Toyota changed all that shit.
Yeah, because they're like, well, why don't we just make, like, good cars that don't fall apart after a couple
you
of
could
years?
Get, you could get a Toyota Corolla SR5, five-speed, and it was little, great gas mileage, would run forever and outrun an American sports car.
Yeah.
And it just looked like a little damn box. Just ugly. I had one. Yeah. Today it'd be ugly, but back in the day they kind of looked futuristic in a way.
Well, yeah.
And all you had to do is keep oil in it and fucking change the brake pads. It fucking ran forever. A few years ago, I saw one on the road. Somebody's still driving one.
Huh.
Yeah, it was like I think there was like an 87 or an 88 fucking Toyota Corolla SR5, the fastback.
The first car I ever had was a 1987 Toyota Tercel.
Yeah.
It was a 5-speed.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's what I ended up having to trade it in because the fucking clutch kept going out.
Yeah.
All right. You done?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right. So we will be back tomorrow talking about yet another newer Halloween movie, which I've already watched. So, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. And as usual, thanks for stopping by. Bye.